snaps. He tenses, listens for a second or two, then suddenly bolts upright.
24/7. Thanks, he says through gritted teeth and hangs up.
The change in his mood is instant. Gone is my teasing, flirtatious husband, replaced by a cold, calculating master of the universe. He narrows his eyes for a moment, then gives me a cool, chilling smile. A shiver runs down my back. He picks up his BlackBerry and presses a speed dial.
Roz, how much stock do we own in Lincoln Timber?
He kneels up. My scalp prickles. Oh no, what's this?
So, consolidate the shares into GEH, then fire the board. Except the CEO. I don't give a fuck. I hear you, just do it. Thank you. Keep me informed.
He hangs up and gazes at me impassively for a moment. Holy shit. Christian is mad. What's happened?
Link, he murmurs.
Link? Elena's ex?
The same. He's the one who posted Hyde's bail.
I gape at Christian in shock. His mouth is pressed in a hard line.
Well, he'll look like an idiot,
I murmur, dismayed. I mean, Hyde committed another crime while out on bail. Christian's eyes narrow and he smirks.
Fair point well made, Mrs. Gray.
What did you just do? I kneel, facing him.
I fucked him over.
Oh. That seems a little impulsive, I murmur.
I'm an in-the-moment kind of guy.
I'm aware of that. His eyes narrow and his lips thin.
I've had this plan in my back pocket for a while, he says dryly.
I frown. Oh? He pauses, seeming to weigh something in his mind, then takes a deep breath.
Several years back, when I was 21, Link beat his wife to a pulp. He broke her jaw, her left arm, and four of her ribs because she was fucking me.
His eyes harden.
And now I learn he posted bail for a man who tried to kill me, kidnapped my sister, and fractured my wife's skull. I've had enough. I think it's payback time.
I blanch. Holy shit. Fair point well made, Mr. Gray, I whisper.
Anna, this is what I do. I'm not usually motivated by revenge, but I cannot let him get away with this. What he did to Elena. Well, she should have pressed charges, but she didn't. That was her prerogative. But he's seriously crossed the line with Hyde. Lynx made this personal by going after my family. I'm going to crush him, break up his company right under his nose, and sell the pieces to the highest bidder. I am going to bankrupt him.
Oh.
Besides,
Christian smirks,
we'll make good money out of the deal.
I stare into blazing gray eyes that soften suddenly.
I didn't mean to frighten you,
he whispers. You didn't, I lie. He arches a brow, amused. You just took me by surprise, I whisper, then swallow. Christian is really quite scary sometimes. He brushes his lips against mine.
I will do anything to keep you safe. Keep my family safe. Keep this little one safe.
He murmurs and splays his hand out over my belly in a gentle caress. Oh. I stop breathing. Christian gazes down at me, his eyes darkening. His lips part as he inhales and, in a deliberate move, the tips of his fingers brush against my sex. Holy shit. Desire detonates like an incendiary device igniting my bloodstream. I grasp his head, my fingers weaving into his hair, and tug hard so my lips find his. He gasps, surprised by my assault, giving my tongue free passage into his mouth. He groans and kisses me back, his lips and tongue hungry for mine, and for a moment we consume each other. Lost in tongues and lips and breaths and sweet, sweet sensation as we rediscover each other. Oh, I want this man. It's been too long. I want him here, now, in the open air, in our meadow.
Anna,
he breathes, entranced, and his hand skims over my backside to the hem of my skirt. I scramble to unbutton his shirt, all fingers and thumbs.
Whoa, Anna, stop.
He pulls back, his jaw clenched, and grabs my hands.
No!
My teeth clamp gently around his lower lip, and I tug.
No,
I murmur again, gazing at him. I release him.
I want you.
He inhales sharply. He's torn, his indecision writ large in his luminous gray eyes.
Please, I need you.
Every pore of my being is begging. This is what we do. He groans in defeat as his mouth finds mine, molding my lips to his. One hand cradles my head while the other skims down my body to my waist, and he eases me onto my back and stretches out beside me, never breaking contact with my mouth. He pulls back, hovering over me and gazing down.
You are so beautiful, Mrs. Gray.
I caress his lovely face.
So are you, Mr. Gray, inside and out.
He frowns, and my fingers trace the furrow in his brow.
Don't frown. You are to me, even when you're angry,
I whisper. He groans once more, and his mouth captures mine, pushing me into the soft grass beneath the blanket.
I've missed you,
he whispers, and his teeth graze my jaw. My heart soars.
I've missed you, too. Oh, Christian.
I fist one hand in his hair and clutch his shoulder with the other. His lips move to my throat, leaving tender kisses in their wake, and his fingers follow, deftly undoing each button of my blouse. Tugging my blouse apart, he kisses the soft swell of my breasts. He murmurs appreciatively, low in his throat, and the sound echoes through my body to my deep, dark places.
Your body's changing,
he whispers. His thumb teases my nipple until it's erect and straining against my bra.
I like,
he adds. I watch his tongue taste and trace the line between my bra and my breast, tantalizing and teasing me. Taking my bra cup delicately between his teeth, he pulls it down, freeing my breast and nuzzling my nipple with his nose in the process. It puckers at his touch and from the chill of the gentle fall breeze. His lips close around me, and he sucks long and hard.
Ah!
I groan, inhaling sharply, then wincing as pain radiates outward from my bruised ribs.
Anna!
Christian exclaims and glares down at me, concern etched on his face.
This is what I'm talking about,
he admonishes.
Your lack of self-preservation. I don't want to hurt you.
No, don't stop,
I whimper. He stares at me, warring with himself.
Please.
Here.
Abruptly, he moves, and I'm sitting astride him, my short skirt now bunched up around my hips. His hands glide over the tops of my thigh highs.
There, that's better. And I can enjoy the view.
He reaches up and hooks his long index finger into my other bra cup, freeing that breast, too. He grasps both of my breasts, and I throw my head back, pushing them into his welcome, expert hands. He teases me, tugging and rolling my nipples until I cry out, then sits up so we're nose to nose, his greedy gray eyes on mine. He kisses me, his fingers still teasing me. I scramble for his shirt, undoing the first two buttons, and it's like sensory overload. I want to be kissing him everywhere, undressing him, making love with him all at once.
Hey.
He gently grasps my head and pulls back, eyes dark and full of sensual promise.
There's no rush. Take it slow. I want to savor you.
Christian, it's been so long.
I'm panting.
Slow,
he whispers, and it's a command. He kisses the right corner of my mouth.
Slow.
He kisses the left corner.
Slow, baby.
He tugs my bottom lip with his teeth.
Let's take this slow.
He unfurls his fingers in my hair, keeping me in place as his tongue invades my mouth, seeking, tasting, calming,
inflaming. Oh, my man can kiss. I caress his face, my fingers moving tentatively down to his chin and then to his throat, and I start again on the buttons of his shirt, taking my time as he continues to kiss me. Slowly, I pull his shirt apart, my fingers trailing over his clavicles, feeling their way across his warm, silky skin. I push him gently back until he's lying beneath me. Sitting up, I gaze down at him, aware that I'm squirming against his growing erection. I trace my fingers across his lips to his jaw, then down his neck and over his Adam's apple to that little dip at the base of his throat. My beautiful man. I lean down, and my kisses follow the tips of my fingers. My teeth graze his jaw and kiss his throat. He closes his eyes. Ugh, he groans, and tilts his head back, giving me easier access to the base of his throat, his mouth slack and open in silent veneration. Christian lost and aroused is just so exhilarating and so arousing to me. My tongue trails down his sternum, twirling through his chest hair. He tastes so good. He smells so good. Intoxicating. I kiss first one, then two of his small round scars, and he grasps my hips, so my fingers halt on his chest as I gaze down at him. His breathing is harsh. You want this? Here. He breathes, his eyes hooded with a heady combination of love and lust. Yes, I murmur, and my lips and tongue graze across his chest to his nipple. I pull and roll it gently with my teeth. Oh, Anna, he whispers, and, circling my waist, he lifts me, tugging at his button and fly so he springs free. He sits me down again, and I push against him, delighting in the feel of him hot and hard beneath me. He runs his hands up my thighs, pausing where my thigh highs stop and my flesh begins, his hands running small, teasing circles at the tops of my thighs so that the tips of his thumbs touch me where I want to be touched. I gasp.
I hope you're not attached to your underwear,
he murmurs, his eyes wild and bright. His fingers trace the elastic along my belly and then slide inside, teasing me, before grabbing my panties tightly and pushing his thumbs through the delicate material. My panties disintegrate. His hands splay out on my thighs, and his thumbs brush against my sex once more. He flexes his hips so his erection rubs against me.
I can feel how wet you are.
His voice is tinged with carnal appreciation, and he suddenly sits up, his arm around my waist again, so we're nose to nose. He rubs his nose against mine.
We're going to take this slow, Mrs. Gray. I want to feel all of you.
He lifts me, and with exquisite, frustrating, slow ease, lowers me onto him. I feel each blessed inch of him fill me. Ah! I moan incoherently as I reach out to clasp his arms. I try to lift myself off him for some welcome friction, but he holds me in place.
All of me,
he whispers, and tilts his pelvis, pushing himself into me all the way. I throw my head back and let out a strangled cry of pure pleasure.
Let me hear you,
he murmurs.
No, don't move, just feel.
I open my eyes, my mouth frozen in a silent, ah, and he's gazing at me, hooded, licentious gray eyes into dazed blue. He shifts, rolling his hips, but holds me in place. I groan. His lips are at my throat, kissing me.
This is my favorite place, buried in you,
he murmurs against my skin. Please, move, I plead.
Slow, Mrs. Gray.
He flexes his hips again, and pleasure radiates through me. I cup his face and kiss him, consuming him. Love me. Please, Christian. His teeth skim my jaw up to my ear.
Go,
he whispers, and he lifts me up and down. My inner goddess is unleashed, and I push him down on the ground and start to move,
savoring the feeling of him inside me, riding him hard. With his hands around my waist, he matches my rhythm. I have missed this, the heady feeling of him beneath me, inside me, the sun on my back, the sweet smell of fall in the air, the gentle autumnal breeze. It's a heady fusion of senses, touch, taste, smell, and the sight of my beloved husband beneath me.
Oh, Anna,
he groans, eyes closed, head back, mouth open. Ah, I love this. And inside, I'm building, building, climbing, higher. Christian's hands move to my thighs, and delicately his thumbs press at their apex, and I explode around him, over and over and over and over, and I collapse, sprawled on his chest as he cries out in turn, letting go and calling out my name with love and joy. He cuddles me against his chest, cradling my head. Closing my eyes, I savor the feel of his arms around me. My hand is on his chest, feeling the steady beat of his heart as it slows and calms. I kiss and nuzzle him, and marvel briefly that, not long ago, he would not have let me do this.
Better,
he whispers. I raise my head. He is grinning broadly. Much. You? My answering grin reflects his.
I've missed you, Mrs. Gray.
He's serious for a moment. Me too.
No more heroics, eh?
No, I promise.
You should always talk to me,
he whispers. Back at you, Gray. He smirks.
Fair point, well made. I'll try.
He kisses my hair. I think we're going to be happy here, I whisper, closing my eyes again.
Yep. You, me, and... Blip. How do you feel, incidentally?
Fine. Relaxed. Happy.
Good.
You?
Yeah, all those things,
he murmurs. I look up at him, trying to gauge his expression.
What?
He asks. You know, you're very bossy when we have sex.
Are you complaining?
No, I'm just wondering. You said you missed it. He stills, gazing at me.
Sometimes,
he whispers. Oh. Well, we'll have to see what we can do about that, I murmur, and kiss him lightly on his lips, curling around him like a vine. Images of us together, in the playroom, the talus, the table, on the cross, shackled to the bed. I love his kinky fuckery. Our kinky fuckery. Yes, I can do that stuff. I can do that for him, with him. I can do that for me. My skin tingles as I remember the riding crop. I like to play too, I murmur, and glancing up, I'm treated to his shy smile.
You know, I'd really like to test your limits,
he whispers. My limits for what?
Pleasure.
Oh, I think I'd like that.
Well, maybe when we get home,
he whispers, leaving that promise hanging between us. I nuzzle him once more. I love him so. It's been 2 days since our picnic. 2 days since the promise of, well, maybe when we get home, was made. Christian is still treating me like I'm made of glass. He still won't let me go to work, so I have been working from home. I put the stack of query letters I've been reading aside on my desk and sigh. Christian and I haven't been back in the playroom since I safe-worded, and he said he misses it. Well, so do I. Especially now that he wants to explore my limits. I flush, thinking what that could possibly entail. I glance at the billiards table. Yes, I can't wait to explore those. My thoughts are interrupted by soft, lyrical music that fills the apartment. Christian is playing the piano, not one of his usual laments, but a sweet melody, a hopeful melody, one that I recognize but have never heard him play. I tiptoe to the archway of the great room and watch Christian at the piano. It's dusk. The sky is an opulent pink, and the light is reflected off his burnished copper hair. He looks his beautiful, breathtaking self, concentrating as he plays, unaware of my presence. He's been so forthcoming over the last few days, so attentive, offering small insights into his day, his thoughts, his plans. It's as if he's breached a dam and started talking. I know he'll come to check on me in a few minutes, and it gives me an idea. Excited, I steal away, hoping that he still hasn't noticed me, and race to our room, stripping off my clothes as I go, until I'm wearing nothing but pale blue lace panties. I find a pale blue camisole and slip into it quickly. It will hide my bruise. Diving into the closet, I pull out Christian's faded jeans, his playroom jeans, my favorite jeans, from the drawer. From my bedside table, I pick up my BlackBerry, fold the jeans neatly, and kneel by the bedroom door. The door is ajar, and I can hear the strains of another piece, one I don't know, but it's another hopeful tune. It's lovely. Quickly, I type an email. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, my husband's pleasure. Date, September 21st, 2011, 20:45. To Christian Gray. Sir, I await your instructions. Yours always, Mrs. G. X. I press send. A few moments later, the music stops abruptly. My heart lurches and starts pounding. I wait and wait, and eventually my BlackBerry buzzes. From Christian Gray. Subject, my husband's pleasure. Love this title, baby. Date, September 21st, 2011, 20:48. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. G, I'm intrigued. I'll come find you. Be ready.
Christian Gray, anticipative CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Be ready. My heart starts to pound and I begin to count. 37 seconds later, the door opens. I'm looking down at his bare feet as they pause on the threshold. He says nothing. For ages, he says nothing. Oh, shit. I resist the urge to look up at him and keep my eyes downcast. Finally, he reaches down and picks up his jeans. He stays silent but heads into the walk-in closet while I remain stock still. Oh my, this is it. My heart is thundering, and I relish the rush of adrenaline that spikes through my body. I squirm as my excitement builds. What will he do to me? A few moments later, he's back, wearing the jeans.
So, you want to play?
He murmurs. Yes. He says nothing, and I risk a quick glance, up his jeans, his denim-clad thighs, the soft bulge at his fly, the open button at the waist, his happy trail, his navel, his chiseled abdomen, his chest hair, his gray eyes blazing, and his head cocked to one side. He's arching an eyebrow. Oh, shit.
Yes, what?
He whispers. Oh. Yes, sir. His eyes soften.
Good girl,
he murmurs, and he caresses my head.
I think we'd better get you upstairs now,
he adds. My insides liquefy, and my belly clenches in that delicious way. He takes my hand, and I follow him through the apartment and up the stairs. Outside the playroom door, he halts and bends and kisses me gently before grasping my hair hard.
You know, you're topping from the bottom,
he murmurs against my lips. What? I don't understand what he's talking about.
Don't worry. I'll live with it,
he whispers, amused, and he runs his nose along my jaw and gently bites my ear.
Once inside, kneel, like I've shown you.
Yes, sir. He gazes down at me, eyes shining with love, wonder, and wicked thoughts. Geez, life is never going to be boring with Christian, and I'm in this for the long haul. I love this man, my husband, my lover, father of my child, my sometimes dominant, my 50 shades.
Epilogue. The Big House, May 2014. I lie on our tartan picnic blanket and gaze up at the clear, blue summer sky, my view framed by meadow flowers and tall green grasses. The heat of the afternoon summer sun warms my skin, my bones, and my belly, and I relax, my body turning to jello. This is comfortable. Hell no, this is wonderful. I savor the moment, a moment of peace, a moment of pure and utter contentment. I should feel guilty for feeling this joy, this completeness, but I don't. Life right here, right now, is good, and I've learned to appreciate it and live in the moment like my husband. I smile and squirm as my mind drifts to the delicious memory of last night at our home in Escala. The strands of the flogger skim across my swollen belly at an aching, languorous pace.
Have you had enough yet, Anna?
Christian whispers in my ear. Oh, please, I beg, pulling on the restraints above my head as I stand blindfolded and tethered to the grid in the playroom. The flogger's sweet sting bites into my behind.
Please what?
I gasp. Please, sir. Christian places his hand over my wringing skin and rubs gently.
There, there, there.
His words are soft. His hand moves south and around, and his fingers slide inside me.
I groan. Mrs. Gray.
He breathes, and his teeth pull on my earlobe.
You're so ready.
His fingers slide in and out of me, hitting that spot. That sweet, sweet spot again. The flogger clatters onto the floor, and his hand moves over my belly and up to my breasts. I tense. They are sensitive.
Hush.
Christian says, cupping one, and he gently brushes his thumb over my nipple. Ah! His fingers are gentle and enticing, and pleasure spirals out from my breast, down, down, deep down. I tilt my head back, pushing my nipple into his palm, and moan once more.
I like to hear you,
Christian whispers. His erection is at my hip, the buttons of his fly pressing into my flesh as his fingers continue their relentless assault. In, out, keeping a rhythm.
Shall I make you come like this?
He asks. No. His fingers stop moving inside me.
Really, Mrs. Gray? Is it up to you?
His fingers tighten around my nipple. No. No, sir.
That's better.
Ah! Please, I beg.
What do you want, Anastasia?
You, always. He inhales sharply. All of you, I add, breathless. He eases his fingers out of me, pulls me around to face him, and removes the blindfold. I blink up into darkening gray eyes that burn into mine. His index fingers trace my bottom lip, and he pushes his index and middle fingers into my mouth, letting me taste the salty tang of my arousal.
Suck,
he whispers. I swirl my tongue around and between his fingers. Even I taste good on his fingers. His hands skim up my arms to the cuffs above my head, and he unclips them, freeing me. Turning me around so I'm facing the wall, he tugs on my braid, pulling me into his arms. He angles my head to one side and skims his lips up my throat to my ear while holding me flush against him.
I want in your mouth.
His voice is soft and seductive. My body, ripe and ready, clenches deep inside. The pleasure is sweet and sharp.
I moan. Turning to face him, I pull his head down to mine and kiss him hard, my tongue invading his mouth, tasting and savoring him. He groans, places his hands on my behind and tugs me against him, but only my pregnant belly touches him. I bite his jaw and trail kisses down his throat and run my fingers down to his jeans. He tilts his head back, exposing more of his throat to me, and I run my tongue down to his chest and through his chest hair. Ugh! I tug the waistband of his jeans, the buttons popping, and he grasps my shoulders as I sink to my knees in front of him. As I gaze up at him through my lashes, he stares down at me. His eyes are dark, his lips parted, and he inhales deeply when I free him and ensnare him with my mouth. I love doing this to Christian, watching him come apart, hearing his breath hitch, and the soft moans he makes deep in his throat. I close my eyes and suck hard, pressing down on him, relishing his taste and his breathless gasp. He grasps my head, stilling me, and I sheathe my teeth with my lips and push him deeper into my mouth. "Open your eyes and look at me," he orders, his voice low. Blazing eyes meet mine and he flexes his hips, filling my mouth to the back of my throat, then withdrawing quickly. He pushes into me again and I reach up to grab him. He stops and holds me in place.
"Don't touch or I'll cuff you again. I just want your mouth,"
he growls. Oh my, like that, is it? I put my hands behind my back and gaze up at him innocently with my mouth full.
"Good girl," he says,
smirking down at me, his voice hoarse. He eases back, and, holding me gently but firmly, he pushes into me again.
"You have such a fuckable mouth, Mrs. Gray."
He closes his eyes and eases into my mouth as I squeeze him between my lips, running my tongue over and around him. I take him deeper and withdraw again and again and again, the air hissing between his teeth.
"Ah, stop,"
he says, and he pulls out of me, leaving me wanting more. He grasps my shoulders and pulls me to my feet. Grabbing my braid, he kisses me hard, his persistent tongue greedy and giving at once. Suddenly, he releases me, and before I know it, he's lifted me into his arms and moved over to the four-poster. Gently, he lays me down so that my behind is just on the edge of the bed.
"Wrap your legs around my waist,"
he orders. I do, and pull him toward me. He leans down, hands on either side of my head, and still standing, very slowly, eases himself into me. Oh, that feels so good. I close my eyes and revel in his slow possession.
"Okay?"
he asks, his concern evident in his tone. Oh, God, Christian, yes, yes, please. I tighten my legs around him and push against him. He groans. I clasp his arms and he flexes his hips slowly at first, in, out. Christian, please, harder. I won't break. He groans and starts to move, really move, pounding into me again and again. Oh, it's heavenly. Yes, I gasp, tightening my hold on him as I start to build. He moans, grinding into me with renewed determination, and I'm close. Oh, please, don't stop.
Come on, Anna,
he groans through gritted teeth, and I explode around him, my orgasm going on and on and on. I call out his name and Christian stills, groaning loudly as he climaxes inside me.
Anna!
He cries. Christian lies beside me, his hand caressing my belly, his long fingers splayed out wide.
How's my daughter?
She's dancing, I laugh.
Dancing? Oh yes, wow, I can feel her.
He grins as Blip 2 somersaults inside me. I think she likes sex already. Christian frowns.
Really?
He says dryly. He moves so his lips are against my bump.
There'll be none of that until you're 30, young lady.
I giggle. Oh, Christian, you're such a hypocrite.
No, I'm an anxious father.
He gazes up at me, his brow furrowed, betraying his anxiety. You're a wonderful father, as I knew you would be. I caress his lovely face, and he gives me his shy smile.
I like this,
he murmurs, stroking then kissing my belly.
There's more of you.
I pout. I don't like more of me.
It's great when you come.
Christian!
And I'm looking forward to the taste of breast milk again.
Christian, you are such a kinky... He swoops on me suddenly, kissing me hard, throwing his leg over mine and grabbing my hands so they are above my head.
You love the kinky fuckery,
he whispers, and he runs his nose down mine. I grin, caught in his infectious, wicked smile. Yes, I love the kinky fuckery, and I love you very much. I jerk awake, woken by a high-pitched squeal of delight from my son, and even though I can't see him or Christian, I grin like an idiot with my glee. Ted has woken from his nap, and he and Christian are romping nearby. I lie quietly, still marveling at Christian's capacity for play. His patience with Teddy is extraordinary, much more so than with me. I snort, but then that's how it should be. And my beautiful little boy, the apple of his mother's and father's eyes, knows no fear. Christian, on the other hand, is still too overprotective of both of us. My sweet, mercurial, controlling 50.
Let's find Mommy. She's here in the meadow somewhere.
Ted says something I don't hear, and Christian laughs freely, happily. It's a magical sound, filled with his paternal joy. I can't resist. I struggle up onto my elbows to spy on them from my hiding place in the long grass. Christian is swinging Ted around and around, making him squeal once more in delight. He stops, launches him high into the air. I stop breathing. Then he catches him. Ted shrieks with childish abandon, and I breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, my little man, my darling little man, always on the go. Game, Daddy! He squeals. Christian obliges, and my heart leaps into my mouth once more as he tosses Teddy into the air and then catches him again, clutching him close. Christian kisses Ted's copper-colored hair and blows a kiss on his cheek, then tickles him mercilessly for a moment. Teddy howls with laughter, squirming and pushing against Christian's chest, wanting out of his arms. Grinning, Christian sets him on the ground.
Let's find Mommy. She's hiding in the grass.
Ted beams, enjoying the game. He looks around the meadow. Grasping Christian's hand, he points to somewhere I'm not, and it makes me giggle. I lie back down quickly, delighting in this game.
Ted, I heard Mommy. Did you hear her?
Mommy! I giggle snort at Ted's imperious tone. Geez, so like his dad, and he's only 2. Teddy! I call back, gazing up at the sky with a ridiculous grin on my face. Mommy! All too soon, I hear their footsteps trampling through the meadow, and first Ted, then Christian bursts through the long grass. Mommy! Ted screeches, as if he's found the lost treasure of the Sierra Madre, and he leaps on me. Hey, baby boy. I cradle him against me and kiss his chubby cheek. He giggles and kisses me in return, then struggles out of my arms.
Hello, Mommy.
Christian smiles down at me. Hello, Daddy. I grin, and he picks Ted up and sits down beside me with our son in his lap.
Gentle with Mommy,
he admonishes Ted. I smirk. The irony is not lost on me. From his pocket, Christian produces his BlackBerry and gives it to Ted. This will probably win us 5 minutes of peace, maximum. Teddy studies it, his little brow furrowed. He looks so serious, blue eyes concentrating hard, just like his daddy does when he reads his emails. Christian nuzzles Ted's hair, and my heart swells to look at them both. 2 peas in a pod, my son sitting quietly, for a few moments at least, in my husband's lap. My 2 favorite men in the whole world. Of course, Ted is the most beautiful and talented child on the planet, but then I am his mother, so I would think that. And Christian is...
Well, Christian is just himself. In white t-shirt and jeans, he looks as hot as usual. What did I do to win such a prize?
You look well, Mrs. Gray.
As do you, Mr. Gray.
Isn't Mommy pretty?
Christian whispers in Ted's ear. Ted swats him away, more interested in Daddy's Blackberry. I giggle. You can't get around him.
I know.
Christian grins and kisses Ted's hair.
I can't believe he'll be two tomorrow.
His tone is wistful. Reaching across, he spreads his hand over my bump.
Let's have lots of children,
he says. One more, at least, I grin, and he caresses my belly.
How is my daughter?
She's good. Asleep, I think.
Hello, Mr. Gray. Hi, Anna.
We both turn to see Sophie, Taylor's 10-year-old daughter, appear out of the long grass.
Zoe!
Ted squeals with delighted recognition. He struggles out of Christian's lap, discarding the blackberry.
I have some popsicles from Gail, Sophie says. Can I give one to Ted?
Sure, I say. Oh, dear, this is going to be messy.
Pop!
Ted holds out his hands and Sophie passes one to him. It's dripping already. Here, let Mommy see. I sit up, take the popsicle from Ted, and quickly slip it into my mouth, licking off the excess juice. Mmm, cranberry, cool and delicious.
Mine!
Ted protests, his voice ringing with indignation. Here you go. I hand him back a slightly less runny popsicle, and it goes straight into his mouth. He grins.
Can Ted and I go for a walk?
Sophie asks.
Sure.
Don't go too far.
No, Mr. Gray.
Sophie's hazel eyes are wide and serious. I think she's a little frightened of Christian. She holds her hand out, and Teddy takes it willingly. They trudge away together through the long grass. Christian watches them. They'll be fine, Christian. What harm could come to them here? He frowns at me momentarily, and I crawl over into his lap. Besides, Ted is completely smitten with Sophie. Christian snorts and nuzzles my hair.
She's a delightful child.
She is. So pretty, too. A blonde angel. Christian stills and places his hands on my belly.
Girls, eh?
There's a hint of trepidation in his voice. I curl my hand behind his head. You don't have to worry about your daughter for at least another 3 months. I have her covered here, okay? He kisses me behind my ear and scrapes his teeth around the edge to the lobe.
Whatever you say, Mrs. Gray.
Then he bites me. I yelp.
I enjoyed last night, he says. We should do that more often.
Me too.
And we could if you stopped working.
I roll my eyes and he tightens his arms around me and grins into my neck.
Are you rolling your eyes at me, Mrs. Gray?
His threat is implicit but sensual, making me squirm. But as we're in the middle of the meadow with the kids nearby, I ignore his invitation. Gray Publishing has an author on the New York Times bestsellers list. Boyce Fox's sales are phenomenal. The ebook side of our business has exploded, and I finally have the team I want around me.
And you're making money in these difficult times,
Christian adds, his voice reflecting his pride.
But I like you barefoot and pregnant and in my kitchen.
I lean back so I can see his face. He gazes down at me, eyes bright. I like that too, I murmur, and he kisses me, his hands still spread across my bump. Seeing he's in a good mood, I decide to broach a delicate subject. Have you thought any more about my suggestion? He stills.
Anna, the answer is no.
But Ella is such a lovely name.
I am not naming my daughter after my mother. No. End of discussion.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Grasping my chin, he gazes earnestly down at me, radiating exasperation.
Anna, give it up. I don't want my daughter tainted by my past.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Shit.
I don't want to anger him.
That's better. Stop trying to fix it, he mutters. You got me to admit I loved her. You dragged me to her grave. Enough.
Oh, no. I twist in his lap to straddle him and grasp his head in my hands. I'm sorry, really. Don't be angry with me, please. I kiss him, then kiss the corner of his mouth. After a beat, he points to the other corner, and I smile and kiss it. He points to his nose. I kiss that. He grins and places his hands on my backside.
Oh, Mrs. Gray, what am I going to do with you?
I'm sure you'll think of something, I murmur. He grins, and, twisting suddenly, he pushes me down onto the blanket.
How about I do it now?
He whispers with a salacious smile.
Christian!
I gasp. Suddenly, there's a high-pitched cry from Ted. Christian leaps to his feet with the panther's easy grace and races toward the source of the sound. I follow at a more leisurely pace. Secretly, I'm not as concerned as Christian. It was not a cry that would make me take the stairs two at a time to find out what's wrong. Christian swings Teddy up into his arms. Our little boy is crying inconsolably and pointing to the ground, where the remains of his popsicle lie in a soggy mess, melting into the grass.
He dropped it, Sophie says sadly. He could have had mine, but I finished it.
Oh, Sophie, darling, don't worry. I stroke her hair.
Mommy!
Ted wails, holding his hands out to me. Christian reluctantly lets him go as I reach for him. There, there.
Pop!
He sobs. I know, baby boy. We'll go see Mrs. Taylor and get another one. I kiss his head. Oh, he smells so good. He smells of my baby boy.
Pop!
He sniffs. I take his hand and kiss his sticky fingers. I can taste your popsicle here on your fingers. Ted stops crying and examines his hand. Put your fingers in your mouth. He does.
Pop!
Yes, popsicle. He grins. My mercurial little boy, just like his dad. Well, at least he has an excuse. He's only two. Shall we go see Mrs. Taylor? He nods, smiling his beautiful baby smile. Will you let Daddy carry you? He shakes his head and wraps his arms around my neck, hugging me tightly, his face pressed against my throat.
I think Daddy wants to taste popsicle, too,
I whisper in Ted's little ear. Ted frowns at me, then looks at his hand and holds it out to Christian. Christian smiles and puts Ted's fingers in his mouth.
Mmm, tasty.
Ted giggles and reaches up, wanting Christian to hold him. Christian grins at me and takes Ted in his arms, settling him on his hip.
Sophie, where's Gail?
She was in the big house.
I glance at Christian. His smile has turned bittersweet, and I wonder what he's thinking.
You're so good with him,
he murmurs. This little one? I ruffle Ted's hair. It's only because I have the measure of you gray men. I smirk at my husband. He laughs.
Yes. You do, Mrs. Gray.
Teddy squirms out of Christian's hold. Now he wants to walk. My stubborn little man. I take one of his hands, and his dad takes the other, and together we swing Teddy between us all the way back to the house, Sophie skipping along in front of us. I wave at Taylor, who, on a rare day off, is outside the garage, dressed in jeans and a wife beater, as he tinkers with an old motorbike. I pause outside the door to Ted's room and listen as Christian reads to Ted.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
When I peek in, Teddy is fast asleep while Christian continues to read. He glances up when I open the door and closes the book. He puts his finger to his lips and switches on the baby monitor beside Ted's crib. He adjusts Ted's bedclothes, strokes his cheek, then straightens up and tiptoes over to me without making a sound. It's hard not to giggle at him. Out in the hallway, Christian pulls me into his embrace.
God, I love him, but it's great when he's asleep.
He murmurs against my lips. I couldn't agree with you more. He gazes down at me, eyes soft.
I can hardly believe he's been with us for 2 years.
I know. I kiss him, and for a moment, I'm transported back to Teddy's birth. The emergency cesarean, Christian's crippling anxiety, Dr. Green's no-nonsense calm when my little blip was in distress. I shudder inwardly at the memory.
Mrs. Gray, you've been in labor for 15 hours now. Your contractions have slowed in spite of the Pitocin. We need to do a C-section. The baby is in distress.
Dr. Green is adamant.
About fucking time!
Christian growls at her. Dr. Green ignores him.
Christian, quiet!
I squeeze his hand. My voice is low and weak, and everything is fuzzy. The walls, the machines, the green-gowned people. I just want to go to sleep. But I have something important to do first. Oh, yes. I wanted to push him out myself.
Mrs. Gray, please. C-section.
Please, Anna.
Christian pleads. Can I sleep, then?
Yes, baby, yes.
It's almost a sob, and Christian kisses my forehead. I want to see the little blip.
You will.
Okay,
I whisper.
Finally,
Dr. Green mutters. Nurse, pays the anesthesiologist. Dr. Miller, prep for a C-section. Mrs. Gray, we are going to move you to the OR.
Move?
Christian and I speak at once. Yes, now. And suddenly, we're moving. Quickly, the lights on the ceiling blurring into one long, bright strip as I'm whisked across the corridor. Mr. Gray, you'll need to change into scrubs.
What?
Now, Mr. Gray. He squeezes my hand and releases me.
Christian!
I call, panic setting in. We are through another set of doors, and in no time a nurse is setting up a screen across my chest. The door opens and closes, and there's so many people in the room. It's so loud. I want to go home.
Christian?
I search the faces in the room for my husband. He'll be with you in a moment, Mrs. Gray. A moment later, he's beside me, in blue scrubs, and I reach for his hand.
I'm frightened,
I whisper.
No, baby, no. I'm here. Don't be frightened. Not my strong Anna.
He kisses my forehead, and I can tell by the tone of his voice that something's wrong.
What is it?
What?
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Baby, you're just exhausted.
His eyes burn with fear. Mrs. Gray, the anesthesiologist is here. He's going to adjust your epidural, and then we can proceed.
She's having another contraction.
Everything tightens like a steel band around my belly.
Shit!
I crush Christian's hand as I ride it out. This is what's tiring. Enduring this pain. I am so tired. I can feel the numbing liquid spread down. I concentrate on Christian's face, on the furrow between his brows. He's tense. He's worried. Why is he worried?
Can you feel this, Mrs. Gray?
Dr. Green's disembodied voice is coming from behind the curtain.
Feel what?
You can't feel it.
No.
Good. Dr. Miller, let's go. You're doing well, Anna.
Christian is pale. There is sweat on his brow. He's scared.
Don't be scared, Christian. Don't be scared.
I love you, I whisper.
Oh, Anna.
He sobs.
I love you, too. So much.
I feel a strange pulling deep inside, like nothing I've felt before. Christian looks over the screen and blanches, but stares, fascinated.
What's happening?
Suction? Good.
Suddenly, there's a piercing, angry cry.
You have a boy, Mrs. Gray. Check his Apgar.
Apgar is 9.
Can I see him? I gasp. Christian disappears from view for a second and reappears a moment later, holding my son, swathed in blue. His face is pink and covered in white mush and blood.
My baby. My blip. Theodore Raymond Gray.
When I glance at Christian, he has tears in his eyes.
Here's your son, Mrs. Gray,
he whispers, his voice strained and hoarse.
Our son, I breathe. He's beautiful.
He is,
Christian says, and plants a kiss on our beautiful boy's forehead beneath a shock of dark hair. Theodore Raymond Gray is oblivious, eyes closed, his earlier crying forgotten. He's asleep. He is the most beautiful sight I have ever seen. So beautiful, I begin to weep.
Thank you, Anna,
Christian whispers, and there are tears in his eyes, too.
What is it?
Christian tilts my chin back. I was just remembering Ted's birth. Christian blanches and cups my belly.
I am not going through that again. Elective cesarean this time.
Christian, I...
No, Anna. You nearly fucking died last time. No.
I did not nearly die.
No.
He's emphatic and not to be argued with. But as he gazes down at me, his eyes soften.
I like the name Phoebe,
he whispers, and runs his nose down mine. Phoebe Gray? Phoebe. Yes, I like that too. I grin up at him.
Good. I want to set up Ted's present.
He takes my hand and we head downstairs. His excitement radiates off him. Christian has been waiting for this moment all day.
Do you think he'll like it?
His apprehensive gaze meets mine. He'll love it. For about 2 minutes. Christian, he's only two. Christian has finished setting up the wooden train set he bought Teddy for his birthday. He's had Barney at the office convert two of the little engines to run on solar power, like the helicopter I gave Christian a few years ago. Christian seems anxious for the sun to rise. I suspect that's because he wants to play with the train set himself. The layout covers most of the stone floor of our outdoor room. Tomorrow, we will have a family party for Ted. Ray and Jose will be coming and all the Grays, including Ted's new cousin, Ava, Kate and Elliot's 2-month-old daughter. I look forward to catching up with Kate and seeing how motherhood is agreeing with her. I gaze up at the view as the sun sinks behind the Olympic Peninsula. It's everything Christian promised it would be, and I get the same joyful thrill seeing it now as I did the first time. It's simply stunning. Twilight over the Sound. Christian pulls me into his arms. It's quite a view.
It is,
Christian answers, and when I turn to look at him, he is gazing at me. He plants a soft kiss on my lips.
It's a beautiful view,
he murmurs.
My favorite.
It's home. He grins and kisses me again.
I love you, Mrs. Gray.
I love you too, Christian. Always. Shades of Christian. 50's First Christmas.
My sweater is scratchy and smells of new. Everything is new. I have a new mommy. She is a doctor. She has a telescope that I can stick in my ears and hear my heart. She is kind and smiles. She smiles all the time. Her teeth are small and white.
Do you want to help me decorate the tree, Christian?
There is a big tree in the room with the big couches. A big tree. I have seen these before, but in stores, not inside where the couches are. My new house has lots of couches. Not one couch. Not one brown, sticky couch.
Here, look.
My new mommy shows me a box, and it's full of balls, lots of pretty shiny balls.
These are ornaments for the tree.
Ornaments. Ornaments. My head says the word. Ornaments. And these? She stops and pulls out a string with little flowers on them.
These are the lights. Lights first, and then we can trim the tree.
She reaches down and puts her fingers in my hair. I go very still. But I like her fingers in my hair. I like to be near new mommy. She smells good. Clean. And she only touches my hair. Mom! He's calling. Leliot. He's big and loud. Very loud. He talks. All the time. I don't talk at all. I have no words. I have words in my head.
Elliot, darling, we're in the sitting room.
He runs in. He has been to school.